A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, 90 Day. Okay, Love is Blind, take one.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Okay, y'all, we don't just have love triangles. As isn't this episode, that's what this is called? Love triangle. I'm in a love triangle. I don't want to get fangled.
Never heard of that song.
I'm in a love hangover. I don't want to get over. Diana Ross.
I don't know that song.
You're incorrect. That's bad.
Well,
that's a fantastic song by Diana Ross.
I've heard of it, but it's not ringing a bell.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
I need to listen then. But you're right. These aren't love triangles.
These are love squares.
Love quads.
Love quadrangles or love rhombuses. Rhombi?
I like rhombi? Love quads. I like that one because it makes
me think I like
quads
rhombi
and holding on,
more.
And holding on to a guy's quads and he's just pummeling you. Where are
what?
We?
How is a guy pummeling you when you're holding onto his quads?
I'm Bendy.
No, you're not.
You wouldn't know. And never will. Stop trying
true.
To proposition me. Y'all, this is Love is Blind, episode 2 of season 2. It's called Love Triangles.
Trust me, if I ever proposition you, I've gone mad and I would rather you kill me right away.
I would. I would. I'd just slit your throat like on the Red Wedding of Game of Thrones and be done with you.
Be a good way to go. So, y'all, we're getting into the meat of things here. We've got love squares, love quadrangles, love angles everywhere.
Love, yes. But is it love actually? We don't know. But is
what?
Love blind?
No.
You're saying love
is
things.
Is love blind?
Is love blind? They weren't really on this episode, Nick and
they're never Vanessa. On it until Cancun.
Yeah, they're not really Cancun. And then the reunion, which will be fun.
So let's just really quickly say that Nick and Danielle see one another and it's great. She's into him. He's into her. He's got socks with his dog on them. And I must say, It kind of threw me for a loop when she said, this is your dog now, too. And I went, don't tell me any dog is my dog now. That's a big responsibility.
I thought that was sweet.
I thought it was sweet. Don't get me wrong. But I would get such anxiety if someone said, it's your dog now.
Well,
the idea, you had a dog who I had to look after, and that dog was problem from moment one.
Oh, she was a very fine dog.
No, she had she was so needy.
Oh, I think you might want to examine the fact that that's what freaked you out. You might need to process some things.
I think you need to examine my dick.
Again, slit your throat. All right, everybody. So, but yes, what you're saying, it kind of made it real because people care about their dogs. It's a big fucking deal. And people don't just willy-nilly say, you co-own my dog now.
Yeah.
And when he said that, it was like, okay.
He's a little kooky, but I like him. I think he's going to have his hands full with her.
I think he's too And this is coming from me, but I think he's too optimistic.
What do you mean? How so? What does that mean?
I think that he just thinks about it. I think that sometimes because Nick believes since they love each other and since they bonded so quickly, it's kind of like he thinks love conquers all kind of a thing.
Oh, so you're saying the problem is going to be with her?
Yeah, I think Danielle's
I agree.
I think she's like got a Santa Claus bag full of packages of trauma. And they're all going to get unwrapped very slowly and not on Christmas Eve.
What's this one have in it? Oh, this is daddy issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what's this one? Oh, that's the first time someone called me fat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Deal with this, honey. No, you're right. Yeah. I think he's ready to address it. I think he's a numbers guy. I think he's a problem solver. I think that's what he's put on this earth to do.
I think he's ready to address it, but is she?
Me too. Yeah. I would agree with you that they have a lot of work to do, but they seem to be set up in the best position. Now that's saying something because everyone else is kind of a mess.
This is true. I think, yes, yeah. I agree. I agree with that.
Except for, we're going to talk about them this episode, except for Shake and Deep T, who I think might have the easiest time of it.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think so, too.
I might regret that, but we'll see.
I'm pausing because, y'all, we're going to get to them. We're going to get to them. Okay, but let's talk about the first couples that were kind of in pods.
This is a quad.
Yes, we're going to
Jarrett, Mallory, and Salvador. Salvador.
Yeah, y'all. We're going to try and set
Salvador.
Let's see. We might hate this and go back to the other way instead of going through it by how it went. We're going to kind of
Thank you for telling everyone that might hate what I came up with, but that's okay.
No, I wasn't going to say you came up with it. I was just going to say we're doing this together. It might not work out together. We're a team, Poodle. It's not about this. There's no I in podcast.
There isn't, but where's the way I spell it? Let's just get on with it, you fucking doubter.
So, okay. So the first kind of pod, it's Ayana and Jarrett, right?
There's an I in Grindr.
Put it down. Put down your phone.
A Friday night. Piano Cat 77 is out.
We've got to do another show after this, so hang tight and buckle
up. We'll see. Maybe I can get fucked in between.
That's fine. Okay, so Jarrett is like, this is crazy, but I think it's working. And they're starting.
Tiana, right?
Yeah, this is always happens in Love is Blind. It's where somebody starts, the first person says, I feel like I know you so well. And they're like, I feel like I know you too. And she's like, so she said, are you fine if I take your apartment and make it my home? And he said, our home. And she goes,
now, I roll my eyes, but I guarantee you, I would be one of these motherfuckers in Love is Blind. Like, I know we've only known each other for like 3 days, and I am so into you. I am the ideal gay contestant for Love is Blind.
You would be the first person to get engaged.
I would be.
You would,
y'all. If you propose marriage to me, I'm gonna be like Shayna. I'm going to say yes and then think about it later. Sorry, I gave that away.
that is what you're going to do. Yeah, you gave that away. Spoiler alert. That's episode 3.
So Ayana's talking to Jarrett, and she's like, I'm not a big maker outer. That saliva freaks me out. Ayana, you need to get used to it because that's just kissing. I'm sorry.
That's just kissing. I think when someone says that, I think that's a metaphor for her. I could be wrong. I feel like with Ayana, I feel like she's going to have intimacy issues.
Oh, you think? Yeah. She's pretty much given that away.
Yeah. And I think that she's going to like, it's going to be really hard for her to kind of to, I think all she's smart, y'all, and she's very driven. So I think like
I really like her on the show, but I think she's got a minefield of trauma.
She's actually probably my, as like y'all, we have different favorites. Like, there's a favorite that I love them because they're a hot mess and they're great reality TV.
That's Mallory for me.
Mallory and Shayna.
Yeah.
Iyana, I'm like, oh, I would go out with you and like have a drink with you. You seem really cool. Kind of like, that's what I love about her.
Until episode 3.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I was like, you're just another basic girl who wants the same thing that everybody else does.
But I do like her a lot. Okay. So, but Jared kind of ends their conversation with saying, I don't know. He said, yesterday it was Mallory for me. Now it's Iyana. It just keeps flip-flopping for me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Cut to, then he's talking with Mallory.
And they're doing pet names. He's like, hey, Mal-Mal. Maymay.
Hey, Jer-Bear.
Jer-Bear. And he said, I had a dream about you. And he's talking about their wedding and their rings. A dream about you, Mallory.
Mallory. It didn't come true, Mallory.
But he said, they were talking about what they look like. And y'all, this is when I decided, you may come for me here, but I think Jarrett is such a bullshitter. I don't believe him anytime he talks. And I think he's convinced himself of his own bullshit.
I think there's a little bit of bullshit with Jarrett. I think he has a good heart, but I think it's wanting to be with, I can understand why this would happen, but if he came to me, if I was his therapist and he said, I almost died, I was in the ICU for a week, and I realized I don't have someone to live my life with.
It seems like that's why he's on the show.
Yeah. I would really try to flesh out that meaning of why you want a significant other. And also, what realistically does that look like for you to be in a relationship with someone who's your significant other and the amount of sacrifice that's going to take on your part? I don't know if he's ready for that.
And that is exactly what it feels like to me. It's a oversimplified version of love and relationships for him.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you finished.
No, I just feel like, and that's why it feels bullshitted to me that he feels like he's speed dating.
I think the bullshit, I guess when I think bullshit, you think somebody's consciously lying to himself. I don't think he's consciously lying to
himself. That's just him.
He is bullshitting himself.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In talking about this, I think there's a little bit of Shane in him that he's a sports guy. He's a competitive guy. He plays sports all the time.
I could see that.
I think he's getting into the competition of this. And I think we're going to see that later, this competition of him to succeed, to win, to like get someone. I think that's going to motivate him as well.
I think there's an edge of fakeness about it to me, weirdly. Like especially when he's talking to Iyana, like he senses some type of person who's easy to convince.
I don't think I don't think he and Iyana have chemistry.
I don't either. Feels weird.
To me, when they talk, I feel like it's two cousins who really love each other and get along well.
Yeah.
Or like a brother and sister almost.
Let's talk about Sal, y'all. Salvador and Mallory, who's the rival for Jared.
No, we didn't really talk about Jared.
No, we did.
Talked about the dream. I think this is important. Jarrett says, have you thought about what marriage would look like between us?
Yeah.
Y'all, that's a big deal. And she's like, I've thought about it. But she said, and he asked her, what type of wedding ring would you like? And she says, well, I'd want a traditional gold band. And so he's asking her, y'all, he's thinking endgame with her because he's starting to ask all these questions. That's just what I wanted to say.
Is he really?
I don't know.
To me,
God, he's cute though. Oh, he's so cute and he's so funny and charming. Oh, I'd fall for him. I'd fall for him. Are you happy?
But I think that's where I see the falseness. To me, it's worse than
someone like a lot of guys in my bedroom like Jared.
But I'm saying it's worse than someone like Shane because he never really opens up until it's too late. He only does small talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he more asks about them. Yes, and it's almost like he knows how to get women talking.
Yeah.
Compared to, and he gives very little about himself.
At least from the edits we've seen, yeah, which right. is all we can base everything off of.
So let's talk about Sal and Mallory.
Yes.
Sal, you guys, we've talked about before. Sal is the Latino guy, and they're talking. They're of course, they're playing Never Have I Ever, which is always a bad idea.
Not a good idea.
And you can't see them. So the concept of Never Have I Ever, you guys, you don't say, I'm drinking now. That's so stupid. Now but I'm drinking. Were. I've had a threesome.
But
now I drink. That completely ruins the concept.
Well, no, because I don't have to have a wall between us to know that you're drinking.
Fair. Fair. But I'm saying the fact that they're telling one another, have I slept with someone of the same sex? Uh-oh, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like having to explain some, like to a blind person, the world. We get it. You know,
we get it.
I get it. The world's beautiful, Helen Keller.
But Salvador's talking, he's talking to Mallory and he's like, never have I ever.
Now,
and his voice. And she,
I want to say this.
This is where Poodle got turned on.
This is where I went to a place.
I know.
Heaven
I know.
On earth.
I know.
And she's like, I like to be like, have sex in public. And he's like, yeah, I never done that. And then he said, you have any tattoos? And he said this really, really, because they've talked about Spanish before. He went, ¿Dónde? And I went somewhere. And she's like, oh, it's like right here. It's my blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I've got a tattoo of my siblings. It's four dots. And
and Poodle didn't remember what else happened. He fainted on his fanny
couch again. I kind of passed out.
You kind of passed out. I know you did.
And later on, he said, then he just says, the thing about Sal, he's like, it's radical honesty and you can't doubt it. He's like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, I don't. And I again, when you first meet Sal, you think he's a bullshitter and fake, and it's not. He's just radically honest.
Yeah,
that's a great word for it. And it's if you're the problem with someone who's radically honest, y'all. If you're not radically honest, they're gonna trigger the fuck out of you. And guess what? There's not any women on this show right now that are radically honest.
Totally. Let's talk about them in their second segment. Iana talks to Jarrett, and they're talking about their deal breakers. And she's like,
"For me, it's cheating,
emotionally cheating, anything like that." And she, you know, she reveals, you guys, that she was sexually assaulted at 17.
Yes.
And she's like, "I can make quick friends. That's great, but it's hard to let people in my life for a season." And he tells this story. This is his best moment because it's really hard for him to do this. Mm-hmm. And he said, my friend basically stabbed me and I almost died a couple months ago.
What?
And my mouth was open.
I thought like metaphorically stabbed him. No, y'all.
No, his friend stabbed him with a knife.
He said, I didn't really even see the knife. I got stabbed. And the next thing I know, I passed up and I woke up in a hospital with tubes coming out of my nose.
She's now, y'all, this bonded them.
If anything,
this is one of those things you tell someone and you're bonded. And this is his most real moment. This is the only time in this entire time that he wasn't a bullshitter to me. Even when he cries, it feels, we'll talk about that later. But
even this is where I think he's not bullshitting he's not purposely bullshitting the women.
No. I totally agree with you.
Well, no, but this is the reason why I think that. Because it's a difference. If you look at Shane, Jarrett actually tells Iana right up front that he's made connections with you and Mallory. He has said that.
Oh,
he tells her.
100%.
When he said that, I went, whoa. Well, good on him for being like an adult. and yeah. actually owning you're, that shit and doing it.
You're not going to say that later, though.
No, but I mean, but still, the fact that, like, where we look at Shane, who's completely hiding that. If you remember Barnett from last season,
right.
totally. But, this is the first time a guy on Love is Blind that we've seen authentically said to another woman, I'm considering you and another woman, and brought her up.
But Mallory did that as well.
I'm talking about a guy.
Okay. No, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that back up when we get to him later, though, because sure. I want to see what you thought about him with Mallory and
Yeah. Well, let's talk about him and Mallory now. So they're
basically talking. This is weird because they almost retread the same thing. They're talking about what they do, and she has a house, and she's got a German Shepherd, and they want to cuddle. They have a lot more chemistry than Iana and he do.
Yes. And she's like, again, saying, she said kind of in her in the moment, I connect with him and Sal. And she said, I want to explore everything. I'm scared and I'm emotional. But they're talking about cuddling, and she has a German Shepherd. He loves German Shepherds. So, it's interesting how, again, how different, it's interesting how people, this is what's fascinating about this show, is that Mallory is way more, I would say, aggressive or forward
totally.
When she speaks to Jarrett. But then when Sal and Mallory get together, it's interesting. Sal is the vulnerable kind of, as we would quote unquote, soft man, so to speak. And he can sit and I mean that in a powerful way. He can sit in that softness.
Very much so.
He comes in, and the first thing he says to Mallory, Sal says, I find myself thinking about you, and I really like you. That's the first thing he says.
And
Mallory's just like,
and she goes red.
Yeah, she cannot handle it.
That's why of everyone on this season, she is the most interesting to me. I'm like watching her like watching a frightened animal. That's who she is for me.
I actually think Sal's a little is very interesting to me. I don't know. I like Mallory, but I think Sal is becoming very interesting to me. And this is the moment, y'all, before Poodle kind of got a little lightheaded.
Oh, this is when I lost my mind.
This, y'all, he says, Sal says, this whole experience changed the way I date, and I feel like I'm falling for you, but I prefer
to pair something. No, I'm going to ask you to stop because I need to talk about this. So Sal says, I'm falling for you. You make me want to do things that I wouldn't do. Y'all, we've seen in previous scenes that Sal has been asking other people how to play this ukulele that he's brought. And he's been practicing this. And he's got a ukulele, and I wrote, I'm fucking dead. When someone plays me a song they've written, I am putty in your hands. And I know that because I played music on the piano for people, and they've dropped their panties and tried to blow me while I was playing the piano. And anyway,
I feel nothing when he plays.
Well, I never played for you. That's why.
That's true.
So anyway.
And the lyrics to this song are actually cute when he calls himself two peas in a pod. I knew you were going to love that. I knew you were going to love
that. I almost recorded me watching this. I almost paused it. And because I was like this. Oh my God, this is the most. So he's like, and I wrote, this is the sweetest fucking thing in the world. He's playing the ukulele. He's saying things like, I hope this makes you smile as much as you make me smile. Y'all, if you are women out there and you didn't fall for this, or a gay guy, something's wrong with you. This was one of the cutest motherfucking things that had ever been done.
See, and I was interested. I don't know if you caught this. And this is why I'm going to say Mallory is not ready for this relationship.
No, she's not.
Because she, and I get a lot of people do this, and maybe I would do this too, but I don't know. Y'all, it's not like they're looking at each other. There's a wall. She buries her hands with her hair over
she's
her,
so red.
Her head. Yep. And she's so red. Y'all, that
it's
body
too
language.
Real for her.
That body language for me tells me that's shame. There's a level of shame on this for her. Part of her feels like
she's worthy.
She's worthy enough to do this. And so, because there's a difference of being excited. And so, as honestly, as soon as I saw that, I went, I don't think she's going to be able to dig. If they couple up, she's not going to be able to do this in the real world.
That's why I'm saying she's the most interesting person to me, because you can see her trying to change her spots like a leopard, but I don't think she's going to be able to.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be able to at all.
But I want her to. I'm rooting for her.
Yes, I'm rooting for her,
unlike some of the others.
No,
but I think that's
it for them.
Let's go back and talk about Shake and Deep Tea.
Sure. We're going to take a break for the people that are listening on the free feed. If you're on our Patreon, you're going to continue. Remember, y'all, after this episode, episodes 3 and beyond, go on our Patreon and Supercast tier at the $5 Lonely Heart tier. So if you want to listen to more, you're going to have to subscribe. So we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin Ann,
The Canadian Sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Okay, let's talk about Deep and Shakes. Deeps and Shakes.
So, y'all, this has been fast forwarded, I feel like. I think they've probably had a lot more dates. We just haven't seen them.
This is, again, this is what happened with Natalie and Nick. This is my problem of it's...
Not Natalie and Nick, Danielle and Nick.
Danielle, thank you. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So Shake and Deep T are basically saying, they're talking. He's like, I'm really into her. She's really disarming to me. And they both found out the other is Indian. And she basically says, did I ever tell you I lost a ton of weight, like 70, 80 pounds? And
yes, another person.
Like a big reveal for her. And y'all, he says, he's like, I just realized that I'm the only one asking these superficial questions. And there was this moment where you guys, we saw the undouching of a douche.
Yes, that is a great way.
We literally saw the undouching.
Y'all, because I hated this guy.
Me too.
And then in this moment, I went, this is the whole point of these type of experiments is to see, is put these people in this pressure cooker and see if the cracks start to happen.
And they did for him because Deep T was so overwhelmingly amazing that...
Yeah, y'all, I mean, like...
If not for her, he wouldn't have changed.
And he says, this is the experience, what it's for. He said, I felt shamed. And he said, you know, he tells her, he said, you know, I was chubby growing up. And I had a lot of body issues going up, growing up. He said, I think looking back actively on it now, this is a reflection of my own body issues.
Boom!
Y'all spot it. You got it. He was spotting it. It was when he said that, I went, holy
and y'all,
fucking shit.
He's giving her compliments left and right. Like, this is the undouching.
And yet he's complimenting her. He's starting to talk about what their life's going to be, like getting married, having children. Like, he is starting to, and he said, I think the potential we have is so great.
Yeah.
Or she says that, and he says,
now,
I think it might really work out for both of us. I really do.
This could wind up going back on us, but I really hope it doesn't, because I really like them together. And
it's hard. You know what this show reminds me a lot of? And you know, because you experienced this. Y'all, you know, Jake and I we met in college, but we became good friends because we both ended up being camp, as a lot of you know this, we ended up being camp counselors, but it was a fine arts camp strictly for girls, ages like 8 to 16. It was phenomenal to see what happens to women and young girls when they got together and they didn't have the stress of boys and
yep.
men. And we would see, like, when they would have socials with other camps that they were guys, these girls that were really strong, kind of empowered, opinionated girls suddenly shrank into themselves.
Yep. You would see them turn into different people.
It's so that's what my fear is for Shakes. Deep. Shake, when he gets out
with
of this.
Guys.
Not deepy, but for him, he's undouching himself. But what's going to happen when he gets out into the world?
Fair.
So that's why I'm with you. I really want this to work out, but I'm worried
that the company he keeps are going to reduce him.
Because y'all, what this to me goes in is, and this is being probably a little too analytical, but I can't help myself. Y'all, they both have only ever dated white people. They've only dated blonde people. So already there's something going on about their own culture, their own race.
Yeah.
They live in the U.S. Do they feel that when they go out to the world and they're working and trying to be professionals, do they get more cred or are they higher on the kind of, are not as low on the picking chain if they are with someone who's white or if there's someone who is this or that. So all those things are gone right now. They're all going to come back.
So y'all, he does propose.
He does. Like, you know, as soon as that happened, I was like, he's going to propose to her.
And so they're at their meeting ceremony and he's like, that booty isn't safe.
Yes. And this is a cool thing, y'all. This happens in Indian culture. We've seen this with like Sumit and Janet.
I lost my mind here.
Now, not touching feet. Not touching your feet, Smith.
He said the thing about this show, you guys, my favorite moment of this show is when they see one another. And it is the most revelatory. Do you remember when Lauren and Cameron saw one another?
It was
Never forget it.
You sobbed. Now, before they met each other, we got to tell them why this is important if you didn't watch. They had a conversation. So it is part of.
He's like, they're like, I'm not touching. She's like, I'm not touching your feet. He's like, you don't have to touch my feet.
That's an Indian culture thing. He's like, I don't want you to do that. That's stupid. He said, and we're going to have smart. And he says, we're going to have smart, awesome kids. I just know it. She's like, yes.
Yep. So anyway. He's like, I can't wait to get you pregnant. He says things like that, which men have said to me before.
But. And that's when he gets down on a knee, asks her to marry him. She says yes. And so, yes, let's fast forward to when they actually meet someone.
He's basically saying, you know, I put on this front to be cool and edgy and like everything about music, but she made me not feel that way. And when they first see each other, he sees her and his face lights up. He's like, holy fucking shit. And he's like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Oh my God. He was so focused on the physical. I'm like almost crying. And she's like, oh my God, I never thought that. But he's like really hot. And they're both a little cynical people. So that's what I love about this. And he's like, of course, look at that booty, grabs her butt. And they can't stop kissing one another. And then, like you said, he touches her feet.
He gets on the ground, he touches her feet, and then he gives her the ring.
And he said, she's just perfect. And then at the end, he's like, I'm going to get you pregnant, which I've been told before too. So
I have too, honestly.
No pregnancies yet. Just
not yet. Well,
yeah. None that I've carried to term.
You do get that economy plan B prescription every month.
Who knows? Who knows? But who knows? I'm
rooting for them.
I'm really rooting for them. Because I hated him at first, and I loved her. She was one of my favorite people.
She's so pretty. I want to do her makeup.
And I want her to change him for the better. And I
better yet, I want him to change for her.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So let's talk about the other quad, and this is the one that is super
messy, messy, messy. Let's talk about Shane,
Natalie,
Shayna,
and Kyle.
And Kyle.
Oh, yes. God.
I know.
So we start with...
Let's start with Natalie and Shane. And y'all, this is after... Remember last episode, Shane fucked up and thought it was Shayna and was like, what are you wearing? And Natalie was like, So this is kind of the day after.
Yeah.
And so they sit down and Shane says, are you okay? And
she said to Natalie,
she said, yesterday I didn't want to talk. She's like, look, if it's not for you, she's like, if it's not you, then it's no one for me. Then I don't think it's anyone for me.
And she says, he even says, I feel differently about you. He gets her a rose. I feel differently about you than anyone else. And he's like, I just want to focus on you and no one else. He says these things, but we all know that's just bullshit.
And then Natalie, y'all, that's all it took. That is all it took. And Natalie goes, you ignored the fuck out of me yesterday, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And then now they're laughing. And he's saying,
Will you be my girlfriend?
He's saying, I promise there'll be no more confusion. I'll just focus on us. And will you be my girlfriend? And she says, yes. And then she comes back in the room where all the women, she's like, yes, Shane asked me to be his girlfriend. And Shane is just over there pursing those plumped up lips, just
asleep with those really heavy blanket and that like golden wine goblet, wine drunk.
She's like, can we pop up with the champagne? And Natalie sits out and Shane says,
I'm emotionally exhausted. So then, I assume it's the next day. We don't have any idea of time in the pods.
It's that afternoon because they have changed clothes.
And
remember, because they're changed clothes, because the first thing he says, this is what he
What are you wearing?
Her. What are you wearing? Y'all, Shane is just a bang person for him. She's just a hot girl that he doesn't have deep feelings for her at all.
He's like, you're so fucking hot. Or in Gary Busey words, you're so fucking hot.
I'm sorry.
You called it. You did it. You're so fucking hot.
I'm really upset I did that. I'm sorry, y'all.
And she's like, and Shane is like, I don't want another failed engagement.
And Shane says, and he's like, well, what do you want to fight or what? She said, did you ask her to be your girlfriend?
And she I love this question.
Yeah. But I'm like, who cares? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you saying? It doesn't matter.
Y'all, this is a fucking red flag. If you get someone who acts like this, trying to gaslight.
It's terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
Then he said, why does it matter? Oh, fuck.
What is it about? Fuck. And he finally goes, yes, I did. And she says, okay, there you go. And he's like, is it over? And she's like, yeah, if you have a girlfriend, it changes things. And then she leaves. And he's like, damn it.
I'm saying this now.
I don't get it.
If you're with someone like this, break up with them.
Break up with them, y'all, because he should say, hey, I asked Natalie to be my girlfriend.
Gaslight the fuck out of you and make you think that you're in the wrong for things that all your friends, all your family say that you're in the right for, they're a piece of shit. This guy's a piece of shit.
It's a piece of shit, yeah.
Poor Natalie is going to have to deal with this, and I'm not looking forward to it. I haven't really looked at the online version of what people think about Shane, but I can tell you what
Who's
I think about
him. Who's had time? We've had to watch this fucking show all day.
Yep. You're right.
I haven't even had time. I just looked at a few Instagram and saw some shirtless pics, and that's
Can
it.
We talk about Shayna and Kyle? How does she even have time? That's
mismatch,
my question.
Mismatch.
Right?
Mismatch.
God, I really wish Kyle would have found someone else.
Y'all, this is square peg, round hole.
That's what they call me in college.
There goes round hole, boys.
Hey, boys. You can call me square peg, too.
Anybody got a square peg?
Right over here. Right over here. Hey, boys. Hi, boy.
So... Y'all, here's the deal, is that so it is interesting that Shayna is giving him all this affirmation and she's like, he's giving me affirmation. And what woman doesn't want to be wanted? I want to be wanted. And
wanting to be wanted. Electrominated.
Sorry.
Anyway, Shayna, he sits down.
Okay, that's I'm done. Sorry. I'm actually done.
Okay, it's so Shayna, because mainly you almost hurt your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. Shayna says, she's like, I'm drawn to you, but I'm vetting you. You're very intellectual.
Oh, kill me. She's awful.
I'm just going to say this, y'all. I think she's a little bit, I think she's one of those people, and we see in this, I think she's a little scary in this. She's one of those people that I don't need science. I don't need facts. I don't need like information. My opinion is because she says college is a waste of money. And look,
oh,
y'all,
no, we're going to talk about this.
Not everybody needs to go to college. I am not for that at all, at fucking all. But saying that just blanket statement that college is a waste of money.
Can I actually... I'm gonna interrupt. Can we do a Love is Blind theater here? And
glad this
I'm gonna
was planned.
I'm gonna play. You know, there never are.
They
I'm
never
gonna
are.
Play the role of Shayna, and you're gonna play Kyle.
Okay. Okay. And so, action. Hey, so I'm so glad you're here with me right now, and I just have such a good feeling about you.
Yeah, I love that you like me. Mm-hmm. So like.
Yeah.
Would you go to church with me?
You know, my mom, she was Catholic.
But like you believe in God, like, right? You're like religious.
Not religious at all, but I'll show you my pecs when we get out of here.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
I'm not really religious.
Are you an atheist? Are you an are you atheistic?
That's not how you say it, but yes, I'm an atheist. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you do that? Like, God created, like, the heaven and the earth in 7 days.
Well, for me, it's just I believe in science. I really like
science. Like, the science supports God. The science supports God.
No, I don't think Bible science.
No, you think we're accidentally here? You think we're accidentally here? You think we're accidentally here by, like, a fucking meteor and a Big Bang?
I mean, a person wrote the Bible, and yeah, I believe in the Big
Bang. Oh, my God. No, like, God wrote the Bible. Jesus wrote the Bible in English.
I don't.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yeah, I believe in evolution because it's proven. Do you not believe in evolution?
No. Like God created like a sloth, and God created like a 4-toed sloth, and like there was a 5-toed sloth. They didn't evolve at all. God created all of them. Like on the Noah's Ark, He created every animal that lived on Noah's Ark. Like 2 of them. That's how they survived because it was like a flood. And then like a bird came through and there was a rainbow. And that's how it happened.
I knew it was too good to be true.
I'll pray for you.
And
that, y'all, this was so...
She's an idiot, number one. She's actually ignorant. AF. She is ignorant as fuck.
And I'm not saying that because she's an idiot because she's Christian. No, I'm saying that she doesn't believe in any type of evolution at all. And she attacked someone for not believing in her religion.
That's more what is, I mean, yes, y'all, come at us. Or actually, if you don't believe in evolution, don't come at us. Just go ahead and leave that 1-star Apple Podcast review you're about to leave right now and stop listening. But
yeah, y'all, I'm going to keep talking about evolution.
We believe in evolution.
You might as well.
Full stop. It's science. Yeah. But that's the grossest part, is that he was trying to somewhat, and this happens later on, he's trying to somewhat meet her where she
is. Yes! Oh my God! Thank you!
And she is full stop, nope, you're wrong, I'm not going to be with you. She's kind of the worst part of Christianity.
Anybody should have walked right out of that room, because you guys, we talk about this with Russ and Pow. This is a values problem.
It's a value
problem. If you already have so many things that you don't agree with on a values level, walk the other way.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to say, oh, it's okay, she'll raise the kids with half Christianity. No.
No, because he even says, you know, we'll let the kids. She's like, how do we raise our kids? And he said, well, we'll let them, you know.
She's not going to be okay with that.
And she's like, no, no.
Ugh.
So, anyway, yeah. Y'all, D-O-A, D-O-A.
Is there a little bit at the end here?
Oh, yeah.
Where Kyle is talking to Shayna. And
he said, I'm not going to throw away with somebody just because we don't believe in religion.
Yeah.
And y'all, it's pretty gripping television, because she walks
in. Oh, I was losing my mind.
She walks in and you see, y'all, there's a ring case sitting on the ottoman. And she just keeps mouthing, oh,
I could not breathe. She couldn't breathe.
She kept mouthing, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, and she's like, wait, our differences don't scare you like they scare me?
And she even said, she said the word, our core values are so different.
Yes! That doesn't scare you. She was giving him an out.
She even, and he's like, does it scare you?
And honestly, this is on him.
No, it's on him. Because she says, there's a part of me.
This is totally on Kyle.
Yes, because he talks her into it. She says, there's a part of me of this that doesn't feel right. And he said, we have to risk it, honey. No. No, not when it comes to core values.
He says, this is my mother's engagement ring. Her mouth went open and I went, drive, Tamara, drive! Drive! I lost my goddamn mind.
And he said, this was my mother's ring. She was also very religious. You're not marrying your mother, bitch. She's marrying you, Kyle. But he says, will you marry me? And she says yes without a smile on her face.
This was one of the most compelling moments of television I've ever seen. And look, I'm not overselling that, but I agree.
It was very compelling. It was very compelling. It was.
I wrote down, my mouth is hanging open this entire time.
How did you feel about her reaction? Because I can understand someone's in shock, but I think there's joyous shock, and then there's just the shock of reality of what I'm doing. What did you think?
She wanted to be proposed to.
Yeah, she did.
Who doesn't want to be proposed to? I want to be proposed to.
Y'all, people believe him. Who she said at the top of this segment, this episode. Doesn't every woman just want to have attention and be wanted?
Right.
She said that.
That's what she wants. That. And she says later on, she's
and I think
in
she
the
wants
moment.
To be famous on Instagram.
She's in her in the moment. She's like, I don't want to make another mistake like I did before when I was engaged. And there are huge issues we don't see eye to eye on. I just don't know. Y'all, in the next scene.
I will say, she in her in the moment after that, she comes in, y'all. She's full on crying. She's crying and she says, I'm scared. I'm just scared. I don't want to get engaged in. Again, I don't want to make this mistake. But yes, in the next scene, then we see her with who, Poodle?
Well, Shane walks in and we think he's talking to Natalie. And it is Shayna.
It is. And she says, I want you to hear me out real quick. And I just want you to know.
Deep feelings for you.
And you hear Shane say, fuck, fuck, fuck.
I will say this. I don't like Shane. I don't really love Kyle because I think he's a simpleton. But this is shitty.
Oh,
This is ultimately shitty because she knows what she's going to do and she's going to burn it all down. And you guys, I get the idea that you think you have to be honest with people, blah, 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 blah. When honesty won't help and will hurt someone else, you're not helping anyone. This sucks. Let's be honest.
Ugh.
Yep. She sucks.
She sucks.
Yeah.
She sucks. She sucks.
Love this show.
The show is very good. It's very good. Y'all, that's the episode. If you want to hear more Love is Blind on Reality Gaze, you're going to have to go to that link to our Patreon or our Supercast link. If you don't love technology, we recommend Supercast. It can be a little easier, to be honest. But if you want to comment on the message boards, you can go to our Patreon link at the $5 tier. If you want to hear all of these shows without commercials, then be sure to go to our $8 tier, and that's where you can get everything commercial free, including our free feed shows that you normally listen to.
Apparently there was just an earthquake, but no one felt it.
Oh, well, good. Go to realitygaze.com, everybody, to our website. Go to our Linktree link. We'll see you in Los Angeles coming up on February 27th, where we'll be talking about the finale of Love is Blind.
And we'll be there with Dateline with Kimberly and Katie.
Yes, and be sure to check our Instagram on Monday for a special announcement that's going to be happening on Wednesday. I think that's it, Poodle. Y'all.
Remember, y'all.
Oh, we love this show.
One thing you have to ask yourself before you go to bed at night in a very throaty voice.
Is love blind?
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.